In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why do we celebrate the anniversary of the dedication of a church? Because, in the words of Bishop Michael Curry, we are called to become the beloved community whose way of life is the way of Jesus and his way of love. In my weekly message that went out with our newsletter yesterday, I talked about the dedication of this beautiful building. It was built through the free will offerings of parishioners and those who believed in St. Thomas Church and its place on 5th Avenue and 53rd Street over 100 years ago. Why did people give? Because they had a vision, and that vision was for a church building that would be a sign of God's presence here at the heart of Midtown Manhattan. When the third church burnt down, they could have sold this site and made a lot of money and moved north and built a new church of St. Thomas instead of St. James in Madison Avenue or Heavenly Rest on Fifth Avenue, but instead they decided to stay here at the heart of it all. Our vision to be an oasis of prayer and a beacon of love-filled service flows from our mission statement. And that mission statement will be the basis for our annual appeal, not for next year, but for the coming 3 years as we explore the three verbs used in our mission statement: worship, love, and serve. Now, it may be tempting to think that at the heart of our mission statement are the words Anglican tradition and our unique choral heritage. Well, they are, my friends, what give St. Thomas its particular character or charism, but I'm afraid they are not at the heart of our mission statement. You see, the heart of our mission statement is the name of a person, Jesus Christ. Jesus is at the heart of our mission statement, and therefore everything that we do, including our annual appeal, has to be centered on Jesus. Everything that we do flows from our commitment to Jesus Christ and our baptismal covenant in which we commit ourselves to being a beloved community. Now, in our Old Testament lesson this evening, Jeremiah challenged the people for placing their trust in bricks and mortar and not in God. For placing their trust in rules and ordinances and not a quality of life that those very laws were meant to foster. Echoing this morning's gospel reading, in which Jesus drove out the sellers of animals and overturned the money changers in the temple, Jeremiah accuses the people of hypocrisy, just in the same way that Jesus does time and time again when he met the Pharisees and the scribes. Jeremiah says, "Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Here you are, trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, 'We are safe,' only to go on doing these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight?" Don't think I'd like to meet Jeremiah on a dark night. You see, in a similar way, Jesus is asking you and me, Why do you come here to this house of prayer? Why do you come here and what are you doing here? You see, if we only place our trust in this building, beautiful as it is, or our Anglican tradition, uplifting as it is, or in our choir of men and boys in the choir school, unique though they are, then we may fall short of living out our mission here on Fifth Avenue and 53rd Street. All those things are important, but they are a means to an end, not ends in themselves. They help us to worship, love, and serve Jesus. In my weekly message, I mention Bishop Greer's sermon at this church's consecration on April the 25th, 1916. He took for his text James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. The Christian church, the bishop told the congregation, faced the challenge of taking its historic creed and making it alive in every aspect of life, not merely the personal, but the social, the national, and wait for it, the worldwide. Only in this way would the church regain its own distinctive work and mission, one, he said, that will differentiate it at once and by a leap from every other social organization on the face of the earth. The church, Bishop Greer maintained, was intended to be, he said, an incarnation in the world, the incarnation of God, and so continue in the world the incarnate Jesus Christ. Just think about those words for a moment. The church is intended to be an incarnation in the world, the incarnation of God, and so continue in the world the incarnate Jesus Christ. Now you'll see why the words were prophetic when over 100 years ago he used the term worldwide. So I turn to those of you now who are literally on the World Wide Web. You online are part of Bishop Greer's prophecy of 110 years ago when he said, not merely the personal, but the social, the national, and the worldwide. You see, my friends online, I need you to respond to our annual appeal, to pledge a regular amount so that our mission and ministry can flourish, not just in this place, but worldwide, and we can draw more and more people into the orbit of Christ's love, just as many of you, thousands of you, are regularly drawn into the orbit of Christ's love because you tell me, you write to me. Sometimes I meet you at the door in the church, and you tell me, I'm one of your webcast listeners. So simply go to the website today and make a pledge, or use the QR code, which hopefully is wonderfully appearing now through the magic of the internet on your screen. Now, of course, I wanted to say to all of you and those of you online, our circumstances sometimes change. Sometimes you have to lessen the pledge you can make to a church. Well, we are a community, so some of us can make up that difference and we can give more. And some of you may want to give thanks for something very particular, so you can make a thank offering to God. You see, our New Testament lesson today shows that joy can come from getting our priorities right. Joy can come from sacrificial giving. Zacchaeus the tax collector was despised, treated shamefully by those who should have known better. Perhaps that's why he defrauded people in the first place, because he had such low esteem. Or perhaps he was simply a mean guy out to make a quick buck. Either way, it's remarkable, isn't it? Because Jesus looks beneath the harsh exterior of Zacchaeus. He looks into his heart. He sees his true potential. And he did what no Pharisee or scribe ever did. He asked to become the friend of Zacchaeus and to dine with him. And listen to how Zacchaeus responds to that invitation from Jesus. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Could it be that giving to the church and its mission might actually help us to feel that kind of joy, that kind of liberating joy, as together we try to worship, love, and serve our Lord Jesus Christ? Now you see why our mission statement is so important here on Fifth Avenue, because it places Jesus at the center of Fifth Avenue and Manhattan. Our mission is to do exactly what Bishop Greer encouraged our forebears to do, to continue in the world the incarnate Jesus Christ. Not an abstract theory, not a precious traditionalism dressed up in cloth of gold, not even a nice feeling at the end of a long day, but the very person of Jesus Christ, who redeemed the world, who wants to be your friend and dine with you. Our worship of God should help us build a beloved community where love is at the center, and the love of Christ, which of course is Christ's new commandment, will help us to serve one another and, importantly, those around us who are our neighbors. Or as Bishop Curry said, we are called to become the beloved community whose way of life is the way of Jesus and his way of love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.